77 of Keith and Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and today I've got a blather with insurance. It's not that bad, honest, it's not. What's crack? Review section with One Firm Yarn from Knitting Goddess. Coming up, a me section, shoppy section, and a dram section with 10-year-old Bushmills Single Malt Whiskey. This episode is kindly sponsored from my lovely, lovely friend, Angela. Scotch Tweed is a small family textiles firm based in the Scottish Borders. Run by Angela with a huge amount of technical and know-how support from her dad, Gerald, they have a wealth of experience in the weaving and textile trade, over 57 years to be exact. Their aim is to bring top quality tartan and tweed fabric, along with other Scottish goods and apparel, including Highland wear, to their customers at the best possible value. Angela is happy to speak to anyone at any time in regards to their requirements. If you cannot see what you're looking for on the website, give her a call. The number is on the website www.scotchtweed.co.uk and is a UK free phone number. The website is currently undergoing a bit of refurb and update, so not all the products are showing at the moment, so if in doubt, get in touch. To help support the podcast, Angela has provided a discount code for you lovely listeners. Just quote CCC podcast at checkout to receive 10% discount anytime. Any links worth the show notes will get your cup of tea or your dram, and I'll let you know what crack is in the Caithness this week. Well, there's quite a lot of stormy winds just now. I've just got hailed on, and yeah, it's a day for the fire.
Now for the blather.
The blather. Insurance. I was recently cycling and not enjoying it at all, and my thoughts drifted away along the lines of insurance, of all things. Life insurance, mainly. Mine is up to date, and it would cover me getting hit by a mad driver. I think cyclists and drivers bring out the worst in each other, to be perfectly honest. I then got to thinking that insurance is a pants thing to have. I wonder how much money I'd spent over the years on insurance that I've never needed, how much profit the insurance money companies have made. Car insurance, bike insurance, hold insurance, buildings, contents insurance, national insurance, life insurance, credit card insurance, breakdown insurance. The list goes on and on and on and on and boring, boring. And my brain is imploding with boredom. Insurance is paying to secure money back if you have damage or theft to property or self. It's a legal requirement to have certain insurances before you can, say, drive a car or have a mortgage. Weirdly, you can have a boat and not legally need insurance on offshore waters. I then stopped myself from moaning and thought, blather. Carry on, Louise. What are the good points of having insurance? Well, the insurance company think that there's plenty. But if you need it, it is a very good thing. And a good insurance company is a good thing. Ask me how I know about that one. Actually, don't, because it included an awful lot of time. I'll never get back on call waiting. 16 years ago and I'm still bitter about it. However, sometimes peace of mind is more worthy of the moan and worth of paying for it. As long as you set it up properly, remember where you filed all the documentation or what to actually do if you have the requirement of the need of it. Pay it, forget about it. So what's craft got to do with this? It's okay, we're finished with that stuff now. One word. Moths. Oh, no. You've just come back in the room and now you've all jumped back screaming, no! And look, poor Pink Pot just fainted. I don't have them. Don't worry. They won't come out your earbuds and attack the precious. What wool crafters dread is the moth or the bug invasion eating them. They're probably really quite expensive when you add it all up. Stash. Let's not think about that actually in progress, shall we? No, block that out your little bed. But think of the insurance towards it not happening. Albeit, you are the payout of prevention of the damage if in this case, is actually just having the huge... It's windy out there. Albeit, you are the payout of the prevention of the damage in this case, is actually just having a bug-free stash, as opposed to getting money back because of it. Unless something really, really bad happens to where you keep your stash and we're not even going to go there. What I do is I have a massive big bag of lavender that sits in my stash box. I have ordered a kilo of lavender seeds to make lots and lots of little lavender bags that I've never made. And I love the smell of the big bag and it gets moved and bout in the stash every time I go in there. Now bugs aren't really keen on lavender. And also they don't like cedar either. So some of these wee cedar rings, or even better, a cedar wooden chest would work. Or eucalyptus. But then you're in danger of attracting the koalas, so you better be careful with that one. It's debatable if freezing the stash actually kills off the larvae, but we try anything that we can. You have to keep the carpets clean, the cupboards tidy and clean. Oh, I really like this idea. There's lots of products on the market, both natural and chemical warfare, which will assist you preventing and killing off said moth or bug. A thing to bear in mind is that not all moths or moth larvae eat well, because we get wood moths that come into my house as they've been sitting on a log and it comes in for the fire. Thankfully, they don't eat the wool. It was one of the first things I looked up. And if you buy a new stash, be wary when you add it to your stash, or you get given stash from somebody else. Say, oh, I've had this and I don't knit, or my granny's clearing out her house and she doesn't knit, or she used to knit and I'll never use this. Here, do you want it? Oh, thank you. Check it for moths first. Well, I mean, when we buy fish, because it's obviously the same thing, we add them to the tank carefully. They spend a few days in quarantine in case they're carriers, and we'll pollute the rest of the tank. This is what we do with the new yarn. Have it sit in an airtight bag with some lavender eucalyptus. Have a good look through the skein for any signs of anything weird, and if you're happy, after we will, you then add it. A little preparation, awareness and management should prevent the whole thing being affected. There are a few other things we could discuss here for other crafts. For paper and card, then it's a good idea to keep your stash in a damp-free area. For your Christmas decorations, it's a good idea to keep them out the damp. The Bairns had made some lovely. Well, of course, I thought they were lovely. Oh, that's lovely. You might think otherwise. Some flower dough decorations from, I think it was nursery when they made them. They were quite little. And the next year I went to take them back out. They had had damp in them where we had been keeping the Christmas decorations, and I had to throw them out, which was a shame because they were lovely. This led to us redoing the room that they're kept in, and since then, no more damp flower dough. Keep your embroidery and your cross stitch out of direct sunlight, and your photos. It can be hard to find wall space sometimes, but if you spent a long time making something, you want it to last at least the time it took you to make it. Or if you have that special photo, it can't be retaken. Keep it out the sun. Even just putting down protective covering for when we paint is a form of endurance. I didn't do it yesterday and splatting paint everywhere. Oh dear, better go and get a bit of blue roll and tidy myself up. I don't always do what I think I do. Having a bit of care before we do things is crafting endurance. I mean, we all have happy accidents. Well, sometimes we make a mistake. A flick of the paintbrush. A camera's been pressed a few too many times, but then it's caught an off-the-cuff smile. A dropped gluey sequin, and then you get something that you didn't know you needed until you had to deal with it. There's very little in craft that we can't fix or hide, and think, well, it was better that way anyway. But keep fighting those moths and bugs, and choose your insurance companies carefully, will you? Now, I think they'll need a giggle to make us smile for a second or two. Here is the Sandy and Daisy giggle.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello section. A Sandy hello to new to me, been with me a wee willy now and been with me forever listeners. I very much appreciate you tuning in, and apart from the insurance boredom, I hope you're enjoying yourselves. A Sandy hello to new group members, Sando, Nancy's Knot, and Barbara Robson. So if you think that you're wanting to be in my group, which is Caithness Craft Collective on Ravelry, very cool. We don't chat too much. We will be having a Christmas swap coming up. Sign up soon. You better write that down for next episode. And random hellos are to Swansky, JC Hant, Dr. Molly, Beat 19 and Pearl McNitty.
What's the crack, section?
What's the crack? I was kindly sent a pattern collection from Eva of Perth Festival of Yarn, which is the companion for the recent festival. It features my favourites, such as Maddie Harvey and Beardy Chill Joan, and there are 5 designers with 7 patterns between them. You can purchase your own digital copy from www.perthfestivalofyarn.co.uk for £10. Please share your completed projects with them on social media. Eva says she's overwhelmed by the support, and the event next year is going to be on the 8th and 9th of September. So look for all roads leading to Perth again next year. Thank you very much, Eva. It's really kind of you. More Maddie Harvey. Love Maddie Harvey. I'd like to put a thank you out as well to you on Instagram, who gave my mum some hearts on her recent post. She doesn't really know how Instagram works, really. And she was just tickled when people started commenting on her post. And then she kept saying, I've had so many hearts, and somebody sent me comments, and she's just delighted. So she's GrandMacZ. If you wish to follow her, she doesn't post all that often, but she's really good when she does, because my mum's really, really good at her craft. She'd wanted to put up a picture of herself wearing her new beautiful cardigan she won as a kit when we went to the Knitting Pipeline Retreat in 2014. We think it was from Angie, and it was definitely a neighbourhood fibre yarn kit with a chevron striped cardigan. I can't remember who the designer was, but the colours were amazing, as you would imagine with a neighbourhood fibre kit yarns. She had almost finished it 2015, but she went away at the... She went somewhere... Away? Is that the right word? She went, hurry, hurry. She didn't actually go hurry. She went, oh no, at the shoulders and then again on the button band. She had to match the stripes on the shoulders to the body, and she said, this isn't quite right, and found it quite tricky. But then Bab's got grit. She went back to it and she finished it, and she was wearing it the other day when she answered the door to me and Richard, and we were like, look at that, you finished it. And I remember being really jealous when she won that kit, because I love neighbourhood fibre yarns. But then, when she had the matching problems, I thought, right, okay, well, that's the reason I shouldn't have won it, because I would struggle to the point of not doing it and botching it and never finishing it. And she has finished it. Sometimes it takes a little hindsight to understand things. So thank you for Mum's Instagram love from her.
The review section.
Review section. I got an alliteration. A postal purple packet from the Knitting Goddess, Joy, and it was ripped open as fast as possible. And I was greeted with a really lovely sample of their One Farm yarn with a lovely long letter about its background. So, sitting carefully, children, then we shall begin. Their One Farm yarn came about through their desire to have a genuine Yorkshire yarn. It had been a bit of an adventure for them, as it's the first time they've arranged every step of the process. This yarn is wool from two breeds, Blueface Leicester and the wonderfully named North Country Mule. That actually reminds me of a Charlatan song, North Country Boy. Everybody join in. And this is a BFL Swaledale crossbreed. Both flocks live at Fiddler's Green Farm near Harrogate. After shearing 250 kilograms of fleece, they were bagged up and taken 25-mile road trip to Haworth Scouring Company. From there, the wool travelled another 20 miles to Laycock International for carding in preparation for spinning. Then another 5-mile journey got the carded wool to Laxton's for spinning, plying and skeining. Finally, 2 months after shearing, the first batch of finished skeins travelled another 18 miles to reach us in Harrogate. That's a journey of 72 miles in Yorkshire from sheep to dye pot. Proper Yorkshire yarn. Why does a Yorkshire yarn matter to them? At Knitting Goddess, we love British wool. We only dye wool which is grown, processed and spun in UK. Having a Yorkshire yarn spun let us make that process even better. Buying the fleece direct meant the farm not only got a better price for the fleece, but were also paid promptly, supporting someone we know and respect. Fleece is bulky, not especially light, especially in its raw state, so cutting down on the distance it travels can only be a good thing. Processing in the UK means that strict standards are in place to protect the environment. West Yorkshire is an area with high unemployment, so keeping local jobs and skills matter. Having the wealth of woolly knowledge that the scourer, the carder, the mill have amassed makes projects like this possible, and I'd like that knowledge and skill base to stay where it is. We've ended up with an amazing yarn with 50-50 blend of BFL and North Country Mule, 4-ply fingering weight and with 400 metres to each 100 gram skein. The yarn's been spun to be well balanced, so it's ideal for any project apart from socks. North Country Mule adds a crispness to the BFL, and Laxton's has spun us a yarn which has a beautiful feel to it. We can do things like this because we have amazing customers who care about where their wool comes from or who are interested in British wool. Thank you for being part of the adventure. And this is from Joy and Bobby. The yarn was launched at Yarndale is currently online on the Knitting Goddess website page. I love reading that later. I love getting the package. I love working with the yarn. I love the provenance behind it. Absolutely love the provenance behind it. When you actually have it written down and you're explaining about the scouring, that's somebody's employment, the carding, somebody else's employment, and the mill, and that's quite a few people's employment. And then there's the farmers who get paid promptly. That's excellent. And then there's Joy, who's going to get money back from you. And it's a supply chain with all the people around it that are... It's just brilliant, because it's 72 miles worth of supply chain. This gives me a lovely, warm, fuzzy glow, and that's not just because I was holding the yarn. So, the findings. Right, smells a bit sheepy, because it's a sheep. It's got long guard hairs, and there was a tiny bit of age matter, so your sheep have been outside. I got a black and grey neutral kind of colour, but on the website, she has got 28 dyed and one undyed. The undyed is £16, and the rest of them are £18. And four, possibly five solids, and all the rest of them are sort of variegated. And you've got Joy's wonderful rainbows. Love those rainbow colours. And then there's some just gorgeous blues and turquoises, some pinks and purples, some neutrals, which we need. We know we do need them. We never buy them sometimes, if you're me. But we do need them. Some plum, rose, silver, teal. Oh, love teal. Turquoise, violet, walnut, and wheat. And then the undyed. But why would you want the undyed when you can just get Joy to dye it for you in the way she's already done it? However, I'm sure you maybe want to just enjoy it yourself. If you gave me the undyed, I would be like, oh, lovely, I want to dye this. But I love the way Joy dyes her stuff. There are two plies of the yarn, and it's very nicely plied. It's not too tight, and it's not too loose. It's baby bear just right. It casts on fine, and it knits ace. I've got a wee bit splitty. Stocking stitch is ace. I didn't use it to cable, but the lace was okay. The rib was ace. The moss was excellent, and it cast off nicely. And then I went to the crochet hook, and it was a light and airy type of feel to it. I didn't think the bobble was very good in it. It was more suited to an open stitch, this one. This would make great hap yarn or leg warmers or gloves. It's giving you a hug, something warm for your shoulders, and nice and warm and yet light and airy and easy to work with. The blocking was easy, there was no dye loss in the rinse, and it pinned out fine. And it sat, once it's been blocked, it sat and it's done exactly what it says on the tin. And it just makes me want to work with it more and more. And because it's a four ply, I would actually like to see this in a double knit and use it for hats and stuff. But the four ply, I mean, you're going to get quite a lot of yardage, mileage to your yardage. You're going to get quite a lot of yardage for your skein. And I would say it was a really good price at £18. When you think about what processes it has gone through and how much she has kept that to keep it in Yorkshire. She's very lucky to not have to send it any further than Yorkshire. And the air miles or the road miles in it are extremely low. So that is hand-dyed 4-ply one-form yarn from the Knitting Goddess. And I would recommend this. It is lovely to work with. Thank you, Joy, yet again. And Bobby, this yarn, the provenance, you just couldn't get better. And the labels, gee whiz, there's good labelling. Joy told me that she listens to the podcast when she's dying, and I keep her company. I'd love to be there in person with you, Joy, and when you're concocting such wonderful yarns and projects and ideas. Haste me back to Yorkshire soon. Thank you, Joy.
Coming up, it's there.
Coming up in November, Festival Down with Gardening Witch Jean. This is a fibre festival for lovers of textile art, sewing, knitting and crocheting, and it's in Hitchin in Herefordshire. And you're going to have 60 independent crafts people and designers. You're going to have yarn, fibre, notions, patterns. And it's at the Prairie School in Bedford Road, Hitchin, and it's on Saturday the 11th of November. You can get more information and tickets at www.festival.com. And Gardening Witch is going to be there, so go and support her because she's awesome. There's been an email coming out from the Edinburgh Yarn Fest, and if you are wanting to take a class, you have to be about on the 14th of October to purchase it. They go live then. Also, Joe and Mika are thinking about doing a book, which I would buy, because it's a sort of travel guide to where you can buy yarn in Scotland. I just think it'd be brilliant. When you go to Brora, you should go into King Craig Fabrics, because they have yarn and it's lovely. And when you go to Edinburgh, you should go to Ginger Twist Studios on Leithbog, and it's wonderful, because Jess is there. You know, that probably a bit better. Edinburgh's a beautiful city, and it has the historic Leithbog, and oh, it's nestled in this Leithbog. It's like the Marks and Spencer's advert for yarn. I would just like it, right, Liddles, or Aldi. Doing here, only right. And you get Jess, and she's ace. Right. So, lots of Edinburgh Yarn Festival information. We're starting to talk about it already. It's October, but October is the time where they put out the workshops. And at this point in time, I'm planning on going. And I don't know whether I'm going to take a workshop or not, or just swan around. There is lots and lots and lots to get your tickets for, so watch this space. But closer, which is coming up soon, it's the 4th of October as I'm recording, and on the 13th and 15th of October is the Loch Ness Knit Fest, Inverness, and I'll be there on the 14th, and hopefully I'll not miss any of the Edinburgh things. And I'll be going up and down that day with Naomi, Mum and I, and Mum and I are taking the two-handed Fairell workshop in the morning with Catherine Limer, and in the afternoon turning sideways with Willie Wormhead. And then at lunchtime, I'll be floating about the marketplace. So I'd love to catch up with you then. And we give hugs. And Naomi is taking the Aldi... Not the Aldi breakfast, what I was going to say. Sorry, Naomi. You're wanting a big roller, aren't you? Naomi's taking the Aldi Carrie Westerman workshop on how to knit a Nordic jumper. And I think she'll just go on from leaps and bounds from there. I'm quite jealous because I like Carrie. But... I can live vicariously through Naomi. And also, which is awesome, Willie Wormhead and Ripples Craft Helen have announced this week that they have done a collaboration, and they have a hat called Scourie. Willie has designed it, and she's used some of Helen's beautiful yarns, and sort of oval, because it's not. I know exactly the shape, but I can't. I don't know what their name is. Pattern, and it's to depict the lichen on a place in Scourie that Helen took a picture for, which she quite liked of, and they have it in a golden, a blue with gold or yellow, and I think that that's the kit I want, because Helen's doing kits, which is cool. I'm going to get one of those kits on the Saturday, hopefully there's some left, and then the pattern will be released afterwards, and I think Helen probably will have kits as well available afterwards. I've made a few hats. I really need to post them now for the Queen Mother's Clothing Guild, which is the charity that collects knitted items, and I've done three hats, and I'm going to post it off. I don't think I'll be winning any prizes, but hopefully some of you have managed to knit something if you're going, or if it does say send them to the Loch Ness Knit Fest in advance, but you know, I think they'd still take it if you gave it to them on the day somewhere, because it's a donation. I wouldn't worry too much if you miss the date.
The beaker section. Me
section. We were down at Fort William and Oban last weekend because Richard was doing the Braveheart Triathlon again. I was support crew and the Bairns were with Granny. I got speaking to Robbie Rennick, who was an Olympian and Commonwealth swimmer, and he was a medal winner too. And he absolutely smashed the swim time for his team. He had a dog, I had a dog, doggy people talk, plus his partner, she was lovely too. So, anywho, and a very, very nice couple, and lovely dog, Harley. It was amazing to watch him just effortlessly swim that and then came out hardly out of breath. It's just amazing. Anyway, I had 4 hours to kill. At one point I thought, I'll sit in the car. I'll listen to The Count of Monte Cristo. And I'll work on my Tunisian crochet paving mitts. And I then finished them sitting in the car park waiting for Richard to run up and down Ben Nevis. He did well and he enjoyed it again, so I was delighted as I finished my mitts. These are for me, and the pattern is by Twinset Ellen. Hello Ellen! And this is using Mode Knit yarn, which has all the colours. I used a yellow base from Yarns for the Plain and the multi-coloured second colour for the mitts. I've even worn them a few times and they were great yesterday in the chuck and rain for a little bit extra warmth. Really needed them today because it's cold and very windy today. I made the little size because I don't have big hands, but they were a little tight too, and I was thinking this morning it'll come time enough for full gloves with fingers. What I like to do in the winter sometimes is wear full gloves with fingers and then put fingerless mitts over them to give them extra warmth. But I'm not sure I'll manage it with these because they're that little bit tighter. I've not actually blocked them yet and the crab edge is rolling a wee bit. They didn't the last time I made them for Daisy when I used Space Cadet yarns, but yarns from the plane is more delicate and not as round in the ply, so possibly that's why, and I haven't blocked them. The Tunisian crochet gives a lovely dense fabric and I'll have toasty hands. I love this technique, and thank you Ellen for writing up such a nice pattern. Some of you were thinking that you need them in your lives, and yes you do. I'll be making more at some point because they grow quite quickly if you're making time for them. I wasn't monogamous on them and I really only worked on them when I was out the house, so that's why it took me a wee while over the summer to make them, plus it was summer I didn't need them. I absolutely love the yellow and the multicolour of the yarns. Yellow is not a colour I would buy to wear, so it's nice to have a small amount on my hands, and when the days are grey and the rain clouds are dark grey, sunshine on my paws. I also cast another wee hat for Loch Ness Knit Faced Queen Mother Charity, and this time I used Debbie Bliss Cashmerino and Lilac. I have most of a ball left in my stash, and this is from a crochet baby blanket that I'd made for Daisy before she was born. Oh, a wee squishy baby. I really love this yarn and also the colours, so I'm hoping that all this love that I made with the hat will go to the baby about to get it, because it kept my baby warm all those years ago. I sort of used the same hat pattern as before, the very basic beanie hat by Jack Russell, but instead of casting on 72 stitches, I don't know why, by cast on 56. And I thought, it's a bit smaller after the rib, but I just carried on regardless, you know, like beautiful south. That, and I'm a fool of a took. I did double check the pattern then, and I realised, I thought, oh, oops, I'll start decreasing now, and I looked at the pattern where it said 56 stitches, and it just worked out nice in the end. And I've got enough yarn to make another two, I think. I finished the last hat when we were driving home from Fort William, and like the mitts, I couldn't finish them properly because I had no bodkin with me. My Notion pouches seem to have been spread out too much recently, and I need a bit more reorganisation on them. So the hat sat with its cat, there was no cat, just because it rhymes, and it had its DP ends and its top, and whilst I could have broken the yarn and cast on more, I haven't. It's a very simple pattern and I will do it again soon. Plus, I want to put some serious time into my new old cardigan. Now, I have completely finished and completely blocked and worn my fugue in Mosaic Minor Shawl by Curtin Kapoor. Still saying that wrong. Sorry, Hannah K. Rose. This was three yarns, which were Dark Green Sanguine Griffin, Bugger, and that was a gift from Yarn Salad. Hello, Yarn Salad. Superwash Merino Lichen and Lace, hand-dyed Sackville New Brunswick, and it's a very light green with tiny amounts of yellow in there, and this is from Woolen Flutes Francis. Hello, lovely Francis. And finally, a Superwash Merino Periwinkle Sheep in Cobalt Blue colour, which was the colour of Rhinebeck 2011. And this was a gift from our beloved Elsine, whom I miss very much. I would have loved it just in the second two, the light green and the blue, but I had realised by clue three that I wasn't going to make it with the blue. So I added the dark green and it doesn't at all shout, "You didn't read the amount requirement right." Well, not much. The last lace section looks really impressive too, which is in the light green lichen and lace, and I really like that part. I think I'm going to keep this because I had the chance to give it away twice and I just couldn't. Plus, I'm not all that sure it's the other person's taste, so I'll find something else for them. Now, I remember my lovely crafty friends when I wear this because I've met them all and I have fond memories of all of them actually. I've just updated my Ravelry page and it thinks I used up about 1 kilometre. Wow. That's not bad to use up stash. Albeit, I do have some left, so I could make some Tunisian mitts with them. Ta-da! Never thought about that until I was writing this. This shawl was a lot of knitting. I think doing it as a mystery shawl when you get a section once a week helped, because then it broke it down and it felt like I wanted to do it within the time frame, but failed. That's because it's sit down with chart concentrate knitting and I don't really get an awful lot of sit down and concentrate time. I get a fair amount of pick it up, do a few stitches, put it down again whilst dinner's cooking or whilst I'm waiting somewhere doing mum taxi duties, but not much concentration required. And if you want a bit of a challenge, then do go find this pattern. It is divine when it's finished. It is a little something for everyone and it is very va-va-voom. So thank you to Kirsten for having such a lovely vision. In spinning news, I have one full bobbin of the Adelaide Walker BFL Tussa Silk in natural fawn colours, and I'm trying to spin this a bit finer and hoping to end up with a double knit weight. Finding it very fly away and the fibres go everywhere, so I had to put the wheel away because it was Daisy's birthday party and little fingers and wheels are not a good combination. And I have two bags of the BFL Tussa Silk and I've spun the first one on the first bobbin, so I need to get it going again. And I was wondering, why am I not doing it? And I think what's put me off is the flyaway fibre. It kind of goes up my nose and I'm a bit feared it goes in my eye, so I spin with my glasses on to assist it. Always wear your PPE, people! So I must get back to it. I haven't gone near the new fleece to process either. I like to have a dry day. Now we have our autumn not dry day, an excuse not to do it. On to the sewing front. Previously on Caithness Craft Collective, I made another zippy pencil case. I forgot to tell you last episode. I made one with Batman fabric for Richard, one with cat fabric from Daisy, cats, and now I've made one in Star Wars Rebel One fabric for Sandy, and I still don't have one for me. I have the zips and I'm going to make the outer part in tweed and with William Morris fabric for the inside. I need to find where I very carefully tidied away the interfacing and also motivation. Sandy's delighted with his and it disappeared off to school straight away. Mum finished hers and I'm the only one in quilters without one. Didn't you do that? Give away your stuff so that you don't end up with one that you wanted in the first place. On Saturday, I was at Caithness Quilters, and whilst it was a sew what you want day, I'd agreed with Eileen to have a selection of fabric boxes and baskets workshop-ish day. I have some Skubb, SKUBB, collapsible zip boxes from IKEA, and I love these, and I tried to tidy up my craft room, but, well, not very well yet. And it just led me to make more boxes and more mess whilst I'm making the boxes. And I got out the library again, My Sewing Machine by Jane Bull, which is kind of aimed at our younger crafters, but there's some beautiful projects in it and there's also a really good instruction manual for sewing machines. And Daisy has a sewing machine and she likes to make a mess. In this book is a wee floppy pot pattern, and also in last month's Stitch magazine was a fabric striped woven basket. And then I had a thread pot pattern and I went onto Pinterest and had finding patterns for pots, baskets, and finally found a tutorial for a Skubb collapsible box. It's kind of just like origami but with fabric. There wasn't a million of us there on Saturday, but we had a nice day and I got another thread pot made, which I ended up giving to my mum because it fitted her jam jar nicer than what I had in mind for it. I have a big version of this pot, which is basically two L shapes sewn together and then sewn up the sides like origami, as I was saying. And the thread pot is using jelly roll fabric for the outer, and then inside I use IKEA linen for the inside lining. I have a charm pack that I use to make a bigger version, and they're 5-inch squares when I was at Sewing Day months and months ago now. And I was discussing interfaces, what interface should I put on it, and Janet suggested that I used a fusible foam stabiliser called Bozo. And this is thicker than wadding, and it's really good for making oven gloves with. They have a roll of it, so about a metre, and it can be used for inside handbags, and it's soft and strong. But I didn't consider the box needs to be turned inside out, because you're supposed to sew the right sides together, leave a gap, thread it all through, and then sew the gap up, because you couldn't do it. And it was a right faff in the end, and I hated the end making it. However, the pot sits perfectly, and I love using it, so I've been using it as my knitting bowl, and I can have the yarn at my feet and it just doesn't roll off, and it's like a yarn bowl but not as breakable. Isn't it funny how the things that you like the most are the most annoying to make? But it is worth persevering. Textile Artists has started again and has suggested that we do a series in Kaith and Skies, any medium we want, but to keep it postcard-ish sized. To which we all went, oh yeah, sounds good. She had a book, can't remember what its name, it's a big thick book. I meant to write it down but I didn't, sorry. And I kept flicking through it, and the authors looked at all the different cloud types and used wool accordingly. As some of them she's crocheted and then sewn on beads and it looks like rain. Some of them she has the wool black and sewn on sparkles for lightning. And there was big puffy white clouds, and then there was fine wispy clouds, and just all the colours. Now in Caithness we've got wide horizons here, and we get big skies, which is ever changing. And I've become quite obsessed with clouds recently. And thank you Russell for the cloud app suggestion. And I've got the bairns primed to take a photo for me if I'm driving, if there's good clouds going on. Even the grey clouds, there are a few of them today, are useful because we have all the sunsets, all the northern lights. So we could get a whole year out of this and more. The idea was that we exhibit our finished work, but I don't think that'll ever happen with us. I tried to iron on some dispersed dyes that I had painted a few years ago onto some gilded linen that Ayla had brought us back from London, and she'd given us all a wee bit each, but it didn't work. Now, I'm not sure because the dyes are quite old now, and I did try on some really synthetic material and not much happened. So we are going to paint some more and get a new stock. I've also tried doing some needle felting for the things as well. I've got a fair bit to work through, but it's ongoing. I think that once Anne comes in showing us her first finished sky, then the rest of us will follow. In the library corner, I got out the library via Mum the Ian Rankin most recent Rebus book called Rather Be the Devil, which is a very, very easy book to read. Recommend all Rebus books if you like a good crime novel. I like it because they're based in Edinburgh, and I lived there at the time when I started reading them, and I think it was the first book I'd read that I knew exactly where the streets were. It gives me a wee thrill to be able to picture it in my head where the murders are. Drams. On to the drams this episode. If you're not into the drinking or shopping, then thank you for listening, but I'll catch you next episode, because there's only the shopping section and the blah 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 stuff after. If you're into the drinking, then stay tuned. This episode sees Richard and I drink a 10-year-old Bushmill single malt whisky and also a Scallywag blend.
We're drumming. Hope you like drumming too.
Hello listeners, welcome into this episode of The Drams. What are we drinking this week, Richard?
We are drinking a very square tubbed bottle of Bushmills single malt Irish whiskey, triple distilled, aged 10 years, matured in two woods. Dunnet Forest in the Spooky Forest, I don't know.
Or the 100-acre wood.
The 100-acre. Matured in bourbon and Oloroso sherry casks for notes of honey, tick, vanilla, tick, and ripe fruit. Tick, tick.
You're going ahead. Get back.
Oh, sorry, back.
Get the horse right. Back in the stable.
Okay, what's that say?
70 centilitres.
What does that say?
40% proof.
What does that say?
Product of Ireland.
Mm.
This bottle was a gift from...
Niall
and Naomi.
And Lexi.
And thank you very much.
Thank you, it was an amazing gift.
It was.
It's a shame we couldn't have shared it with them.
I know, the idea was always there, and we've never had a chance to do it.
Well, we had a little drink at the top, but the angels took their share, and I think they've been a little bit taking more than their share.
It's very thirsty angels, because there's only an inch and a half left.
And they can get away with that sort of thing, apparently. Right, anyway. So, what do we get the gift from? It was the gift for doing...
For you doing the Ironman.
And for you supporting.
Oh, yeah. It was very nice.
Very kind and very, very, very grateful for getting it.
You all need friends like this too.
Yeah, no, really nice. Thank you. There you go, the tub.
Right, it's, as Richard has just told you, stealing my bit.
Stealing your thunder.
Not my thunder, it's the only bit that I'm actually any good at, because I don't know very much about the taste of whiskey.
What, it's a box?
I'm doing the artistic part, like the artwork and the marketing side. Just be quiet. So it's a cuboid dish box. And
with champered edges.
It's a cubish box, and it's dark green, and in black it's got a picture of the distillery with old Bushmills at the top. And its original grant to distill was 1608, so it's been a long time. Apparently you can only get this in Ireland, so very fortunate to get this. I don't think we can get this over here. I think we can get, from memory, blends of it, but not single malts. So, this is whiskey with an EY. Found on County Antrim's ragged coastline, the village of Bushmills is home to Ireland's oldest whiskey distillery. Official records stretch back to 1608, when the era was granted its licence to distill. Over 400 years later, whiskey is still being made in Bushmills thanks to the experience and craft we've passed from generation to generation. We couldn't make our whiskey anywhere but here. Our water, drawn from the River Bush, flows over beds of basalt rock, the same rock that lends its unique character to another famous local attraction, the Giant's Causeway. The casks selected for aging our whiskies are also essential, so we keep close ties with cask makers in Spain, Portugal and America. Once shipped to the Bushmills distillery, the casks are filled and left to mature, working their magic to give our whisky its enjoyable, rich, mellow yet distinct flavour. We mature Bushmills 10-year-old single malt for at least 10 years. All right. It's a bit stupid if it was
closing the number.
Yeah. In handmade Bourbon and Oloroso sherry casks. The combination of woods make this 10-year-old smooth and approachable. Oh, that's nice. You can sidle up to the whiskey and approach it.
Am I allowed at the naughty corner of the naughty step yet?
I'm not finished yet. Its honey, vanilla and chocolate notes are balanced by toasted wood, ripe fruit and crisp, clean finish. Oh, drink responsibly. I was hoping because it's exotic, because it's foreign, over the sea to Ireland, therefore it's foreign, it would be not drink responsibly, but boo. Right, the whiskey in the bottle. The bottle is...
Am I allowed out the naughty corner yet?
No, pass the bottle, please.
Can't reach from the naughty step.
What shape is your bottle?
Cuboid.
Thank you.
With chamfered edges.
Right.
A fluted kind of base. It sort of expands as it goes up. It's got embossed stuff on the side, which says triple distilled 1608 to Old Bushmills Distillery Irish Whiskey.
Do you reckon that'd be easier to read if it had whiskey behind it?
Yeah.
He's just tipped it up. We have literally an inch.
Go the other way, half an inch.
No, it's definitely an
inch. It's because refraction, it makes it look lumber than it is.
Right.
See, angels have been greedy. They've been in here pinching our whiskey.
Richard's been drinking it. Listeners, I think you've kind of guessed that. I have had none of this.
You have?
No, I haven't.
Have you not?
No, I tasted yours, but I've not actually tasted it. Cause...
Oh, no, I feel bad now.
No, I don't feel bad. I didn't do the Ironman.
Okay, I don't feel bad anymore.
What colour is the inch? The bottom of that?
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh.
Yes, to go with his 100-acre wood.
That's textbook Winnie the Pooh.
It is.
I'd say. You can't get any different.
No. Why are you shaking it?
Because it looks like there's more in there.
Like vibration. It looks like it's more.
Shall I do the cork?
Yes, you should do the cork.
Ooh.
Good squeak. Does it smell nice? Wow, it's a peaty little drop. Oh, I can smell it from here. Oh, that's quite nice.
It's lovely.
You would like this one,
this is in definitely my top five.
Really?
Yep.
So, colour in the glass. Yeah, definitely Winnie the Pooh to me. A wee swirly round.
I smell it.
Stuff about legs and...
Honey.
Draining down a glass.
Sweetness.
Now, I am getting...
Sugary.
sherry casks.
Toffee apples.
And Oloroso, because I'd just like to say Oloroso. Well, toffee apple season is on now because I saw them in Tesco's. We're heading up to Halloween.
I know.
Mind you, that's nothing to say for Tesco's because they put out seasonal stuff like millions of years in advance. Yeah. Could we have some water, please? What? Slangeva.
Slangeva.
It's got kind of, it goes on kind of honeyish and then there's a sharp dryness at the back of your throat. Quite quickly.
I don't get any sharpness.
Oh, I do, just a little
bit. I just get honey and sweetness. You get the vanilla.
I get sharpness.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. I think this is about as close to its notes as you'll get in a dram.
Ripe fruit.
Yeah, toffee apple.
Does it say toffee apple in the back of that bottle?
No.
This is just what you're thinking.
I'm thinking honey, vanilla, and apple.
It says something on the back of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Chocolate.
Honey, vanilla, chocolate. I don't get chocolate.
No, I don't get any chocolate.
I think I'm going to nip out, get a taxi.
What to...
County Antrim. Well, I'm thinking, because if we go to Isla, we can get the rib that takes you across to Larne, which is not far from County Antrim. Well, the Devil's Staircase.
We still would have to get to Isla, dear.
I'll get the ferry.
Yeah, you might as well get the ferry to Ireland.
Direct route.
Oh, whatever. So who are you having for your dram?
I'm going to have Hamish McInnes.
Who's Hamish?
Famous climber and inventor of many stretchers and first aid rescue techniques.
All
for
right.
The mountain rescue. And pioneer of expeditions and did a lot of first routes and stuff in lots of fun climbs, including the Himalaya and the Alps and stuff like that. And he was a bit of a lad, by all accounts.
Is he alive still?
Yeah. Well, he's ancient, but he's still alive, eh?
Where's he from?
England somewhere, but he stayed in Glencoe.
All right.
Aye, he stayed in Glencoe. And I met him a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Amazing guy.
I will be through there when you two are talking about mountains and climbing and stuff. And I'll come through for the drink. Okay.
I don't know if he takes a dram or not. Probably does.
It's magic. He doesn't need to.
Aye.
All the more for me.
Mm-hmm. Who are you taking?
Well, I'm going to take a couple of people. Firstly, it's fellow podcasters of the Tipsy Knits podcast. And Pip and Sia. Pip is from Northern Ireland. And they did a review of Bushmills recently because Pip took Sia some back and they tasted it on their podcast.
Oh, interesting. I'd like to hear that.
It was quite good. Although it's a bit weird listening to somebody talking about drinking in the first thing in the morning. You're walking the dog.
Are they obviously a professional outfit like ourselves that really know what they're talking about?
Yeah,
and have vast screens of experience about drinking whiskey and...
Oh, yeah.
The flavours and the tastes and stuff.
Even more so.
Or are they kind of like winging it like a lot of ne'er-do-wells that, well, obviously not like us?
No. Very refined. Good tasting wool. And patterns and Instagram techniques and stuff. So I would have them round.
If I said I had good taste in wools and patterns and stuff, does that make me expert in whiskey tasting too?
No.
Okay.
And also,
I'll just go back to the corner.
Also, I kind of like to have Naomi and Niall and Lexi. Well, not Lexi. Lexi can be through with the burns.
Well, they got on great with our burns.
Yeah.
That'd be great to have them through. We need to send them away to get some more.
Yes.
I feel bad saying that. But while you're back over there, if you could just maybe get about maybe half a dozen bottles.
Mm-hmm.
It's lovely. I'd tell you, that's definitely my top five drams.
I'm glad you like it.
I really do like it.
I don't know an awful lot about the area, do you?
Well, I've been to Larne many times. And round about there, Larne, we didn't really go. I think the Devil's Causeway is about...
Giant's Causeway.
Sorry.
Devil's got his own one somewhere else.
Yeah. Giant's Causeway is, I think, east of Larne. And all the stuff I did was out west of there. So...
Maybe we should go. Go, yes.
I'd love to go back.
Yes. Can we take the dog?
Yes.
Oh.
No, it's a beautiful, beautiful place. I love the accent as well. It's fantastic.
Cool.
And folk, it's very kind of, it is a kind of similar culture or people are very similar in the way the Scottish culture is.
They can make a good drama, that's for sure.
They certainly can. So would you have it again?
I would drink it again.
Not in your top five, though?
No, no. No? I'm not really a sherry kind of... Because it reminds me a bit of the Speyside ones.
Mm.
And there's no smoke or...
peat.
Peat for me. I quite like a bit of that, but...
I'm not fussy. I'm
kind of getting a bit of chocolate there when I breathed it.
Huh? Mm. I don't get chocolate. That's one thing I don't get is any chocolate.
And you couldn't get better than that. Chocolate and whiskey in the same drink. Fantastic. Dark chocolate, though.
Sorry, malt loaf. That's what I'd want in my drink. Gives me wings.
I thought you would say wind.
No, wings. Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, if you would like to finish that, we're not going to lick you var just yet, because don't rush it, savour it, because I've got a little treat for you, a little extra.
What is it?
What we have here is, and this has been, well, I'd just like to add that Bushmills has been with us since July.
Mm-hmm.
So, what month are we in now? End of
September. Some people have had whiskey for years in their cabinet. Like your dad, for instance. He had that bottle of Highland Park.
Highland Park.
For years and years in his cabinet, and then we arrived.
I don't know if this is this any good? You better open it and we'll tell you.
I think we drank quite a bit of that. But there's still some.
He's not a drinker, though.
No, he's not.
So he doesn't drink at all. So here, I think this came from Mari.
This is from Mari for my birthday.
And what year?
Not this year. Last year.
Oh, was it last year?
Mm-hmm.
When you were 40.
Mm-hmm.
You're so old.
That wasn't last year, it was
so this is Douglas Lang's Scallywag. Small batch release. Speyside blended Scotch whiskey. This is a miniature. So it's like a double measure. It is...
There was probably more whiskey in that weight measure than there was left in the bottom of the Bushmills. Right, will you read that?
Well, we haven't opened this and we're going to have to open it and drink it quick so the angels don't get their share.
Have you got wings tonight and being an angel?
No, but I don't want them to steal that like they did the Bushmills.
Angels don't steal. Angels don't steal. I'm trying to drink this.
Don't savour it. It's beautiful. You don't want to rush it. It's lovely. Angels don't steal whiskey. Well, obviously they do. Who else did it?
They don't steal.
Well, it wasn't the bairns. I don't think it was the dog.
How do you know?
I know it wasn't me, ish. So was it you?
No.
Therefore, it was angels taking their share. So here we go. Scallywag. Named after our fox terrier, this small batch release is a blend of only the finest Speyside malts, including, amongst others, those distilled at Mortlach, Macallan, and Glenrothes distilleries. So basically, it's got Mortlach, Macallan, and Glenrothes distilleries in it, amongst others.
As long as there's none of their dough.
I don't think so.
Or the dog isn't peed in it. So what colour in the bottle, dear?
It's a kind of pea kind of colour. No. It's a lot paler, isn't it, than the...
It's had a lot to
drink. Are we looking at Barbie here?
Are
we looking at a Barbie?
Depends which part of the bottle you're looking at. If we're looking at the top bit where the flute is, there's less of it. I would say that's Barbie, but down here where there's more of it.
Yeah, it's denser.
It's Barbie with an infection...
I'm not talking about her pee. I'm talking about her hair colour.
Or Winnie the Pooh.
Okay, we'll go Winnie the Pooh then.
Okay.
Barbie meets Winnie the Pooh. And they skip off into the woods.
With her plastic hands.
With her plastic hands.
Oh, I think that would be lovely.
Yeah, right.
I don't think that Piglet would be too chuffed, so he'd get jealous, I reckon. And then could you imagine Tigger coming over?
No, they'd go away and they'd have a bacon roll in a tiger bap.
Listeners, hold on a minute, I'll hit up with the Bushmills top again.
Back in the naughty corner.
Oh, lovely. No cork. Yeah, there was definitely more of that than there was of the Bushmills. In the glass. That's Winnie the Pooh.
Okay, we're going for two Winnie the Poohs tonight.
Oh, that's a different smell altogether, isn't it?
Very distinct, different. I'm getting sort of...
I'm getting
almost
a peaty.
Almost peaty. I'm getting a kind of wood smoky kind of smell off it. Like
Are you?
Like, I was thinking peat burning, but smoke, it's wood smoke burning.
Is this as you're driving past the house that's got the peat fire on? Or is this you coming into a bar?
It's not smoky, like, as in smoky.
As in, oh, Carol, do that again. Oh, I've got someone I'm going to have room for this dram. Julie...
Morgan?
No.
I'll have Julie Morgan and Amy then, because they're doing the Glasgow Half.
Oh, they are, yeah.
Glasgow Half.
And everybody else is doing the Glasgow Half. This probably won't be out
lovely.
For
it. Distinct as
stop
that.
Stop talking over me.
Sorry. I'll go back in the corner.
Say your thing when I'm not speaking.
Speak.
Right, I'm going to have Jules Fergatron. She sent me a message on Instagram saying that she was in Tom and Tool and she was chatting to a Manny. I love how she's written Manny. And he showed us his big red book of tasting notes.
I'm glad you said that. You see my big red book of tasting notes?
I was happy to introduce him to the Louise and Richard colour scale. Are you cringing? I was cringing. He was most amused, a true expert, but didn't take himself too seriously. I was thinking of you. Oh, that was really lovely. So I just put, that's funny. I'm cringing at the whiskey experts being told about Winnie the Pooh. And she bought a Tom and Tool 12-year-old. Don't think I've ever had a Speyside whiskey. I'm going to have her for a dram. Right, can you pour some water in this?
I'm having my Red Hand Gang, amigos.
Oh, yes. No excuses.
No excuses.
Right, slan.
Slan's for that.
Notice we had no palate cleanser in between that.
Yeah, we did.
What?
Our patter. It'll cleanse any.
Oh dear. It was
palate. That's very Speyside, sharper, much sharper. I'm getting kind of medicinal kind of taste. Much lingering, distinctive aftertaste too.
Yeah, it's whiskey. And it's a little bit sharp at the end, but I don't know, I'm not finding it as sharp as the Bushmills. And I'm just thinking, you know how the eye sees different colours as different people with that golden black, blue, white dress? You saw it blue and I saw it black.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the palette is the same.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
So you could be thinking that's really sharp, and I could be like, nah.
I always wonder, like, you know, body. You look at colours and stuff and you think, I look at the colour brown, for example. Mm-hmm. Do you see the same brown I see, or do you see a different... I know you get the colour spectrum, but it's your spectrum the same as my spectrum. Like, you look at red, is it the same thing I see as red?
Well, I used to have a purple dress that a lot of other people said was brown, or it was the other way round. And I was surprised.
But do people,
people
see the same colour? I know physics tell you it's the spectrum of not, like, ultraviolet, visible, infrared, all the rest of that, either side. But stay awake now.
Oh, sorry. Are you
coming
still
to that point here? Physics. This is physics.
Listeners, help.
So you're looking
help
at the
me.
Red.
Send help.
Through the violet.
Oh no.
Color spectrum. Are we seeing the same colors?
Yeah, I know you physics people can understand it, but I don't. Nor do I care.
Is it the same for palette stuff?
Stop talking.
I taste. Honey,
that's what
notes.
I just asked you.
But you might, your honey notes might be different from my honey notes.
That's what I just asked you.
I know, but I'm putting it in perspective with colours.
That's what I just asked you.
Well, but sounds, we haven't gotten the sounds yet.
Anyway, listeners, more about the area of Scallywag.
There's lots of dogs. It's, what was it, Speyside?
Mm-hmm. Lots of distilleries, lots of river. Lovely spot of the world.
Remember that day we drove up a road,
mm-hmm,
to pick up Buchel from Elgin, and
yes,
we went through that, like, distillery trail place.
Yes.
That's all these distilleries.
Yes, that's where the Dramathon Marathon
yes,
is.
Yes, and you've not yet signed up to it and not convinced yourself you're going to do it, but the fact is you're thinking about it and you think you can do it, and the psychology is there. Well,
lonely,
I think it was that popular.
Lonely.
If it's that popular, I definitely think it'll be done again.
Well, they haven't actually done this year's yet. It's on the 14th or 15th of October.
But the fact it's a trail run as well. I might even have to come out of retirement and do it with you.
Oh, sorry, listeners, we're talking the wrong podcast. There's a marathon, maybe I shouldn't tell you, because you might all want to do this and I'll not get in.
Maybe called you will, you're going to get in.
The Dramathon. And they start off... somewhere south. I did read this, and you go through about 7 or 8 distilleries, and one of them's a gin distillery, and you have a card, and every distillery you stop at, you have to, I don't remember, you get your card stamped, and then at the end you get presented with a miniature whiskey or gin.
Each year stamps.
Yeah, well, I think it sounds awesome. And there's a 10K, a half marathon, and a full marathon. And the greedy Louise thinks that the whole marathon would be worth doing.
To get all the miniatures.
Yeah.
She might run it twice.
It's only £50, actually, which isn't bad for miniatures. But
no, that's quite good for a marathon as well.
That the distilleries are sponsoring it big time.
Oh, yeah.
They've got money to throw away.
And it's all trails as well.
And it's a trail run.
It's not on the road, which is good, because tarmac's bad. Okay.
Would you buy this again? Have you ever seen it before?
Nope. It's very distinct. The nose is very distinct. I'm trying.
Macallan.
Do you think?
Mm-hmm. But then I only think whiskey, so. I've had a Bushmills, which is very nice.
And you're also getting kind of like spices and pickles smell. Oh,
you better have Maury run for your person to have a dram with, because as well.
Oh, Maury run, didn't I?
She's sort of Red Hand Gang, because she bought it for us.
Aye.
Maury's my best friend from school, by the way, for those of you who have not heard me mention her for a while.
Distinctive Speyside blend.
Yeah, but it's got a kind of sweetness as well to it,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm. I like it, it's nice.
Yeah,
it's
nice. I would have that again. I would probably would never
have
bought
that over the Bushmills.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, personally, but I'm that Bushmills is just, I just think it's one of the best things I've ever drunk.
Well, I'm pleased that.
But yeah. I like Scalawag too. It's nice.
Right. Anything else to say about it?
No.
Okay, listeners, it's a double drams tonight.
Aye.
So, slanjva.
Slanjva. Oikiva.
And thank you to Naomi and Niall yet again. And Maury.
Thank you.
Does she think we never actually bought whiskey? Big thank you to Niall and Naomi and Lexi for the very lovely present, and also Maury.
Shopee section.
Shopee section. Thank you very much for your purchase the last week. I very much appreciate it. I think there's only like a black watch in there now. I need to go back and do some sewing, don't I? If you feel you'd like to contribute to my continued running of a podcast but get stuff back as well, then please do go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft. You can support the podcast, get them back if this one. You would do that by sending it to me at paypal.me/Caithness Craft. A special mention to Leila Jensen. I'm happy to review patterns, books, yarns or Notion if they're in that line, so don't be shy.
Blah blah blah
section. Thank you very much for listening. I very much appreciate you take the time to download and then listen to me spaff on. I'd like to add that opinions are mine and sometimes Roger's, if he's in, which he is. I do occasionally get facts wrong, but I try not to and I don't do it on purpose. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram and Facebook as caithnesscraft. You can get the podcast from Podbean site is www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. The intro is from Free Music Archive and it's called Entertainment for Brain Dead by Afraid. And the background noise is the storm. Thank you for listening. I hope there's no storms with you and keep on crafting.